And we said it earlier, Eagles-Bucks this weekend, it's not a must-win game because of the consequences. But when you look at the team that they're facing, it's really tough to justify a loss. The Bucks haven't been able to get out of their own way. They do have some close losses. I mean, they haven't been blown out, but they've yet to piece together a win. And the guy who they have at quarterback, the guy they have leading them, hasn't been there throughout most of the way. He hasn't been there throughout most of the way. So it's not like they're inching, and they're about to break through. The whole thing was disrupted. The whole process was thrown out of whack. If they had stuck with Josh Freeman, you could argue there was more of a... You could argue the Bucs would have been more formidable sticking with Josh Freeman, a guy who's pretty universally accepted as not the guy, someone that needed to be changed, because the Bucs, they were so close in so many games that you could have almost feared them in what they do, because they were a team on the cusp, not of a playoff berth, just winning a game here or there. If you're the Eagles heading into this game, it's really tough to justify a loss. It's really tough to justify a loss unless Nick Foles blatantly isn't the guy. And again, I'm not talking about a franchise guy. I think we've well accepted at this point that Nick Foles isn't John Elway. And Nick Foles isn't even Andrew Luck. He's not even Alex Smith, truth be told. We'll talk more about that later.
Ouch. Alex Smith?
Seriously, though, all right, we'll get to this theory real quick. We do have some Phillies talk coming up. We will get to that in a second. But you bring it up, my producer, Scott Ewing. You bring it up. Right now, if the Eagles wanted... Okay, the Eagles have two guys on the roster heading into this season. They made a decision to bring Mike Vick back. It was a one-year plan. Because if it was any kind of a medium-term plan, you bring in Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a two- or three-year guy. Not a four- or five- or six-year guy, but a two- or three-year guy. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to bring in Mike Vick for 1 year. Because the way that they sized it up, I'm either going to catch lightning in a bottle with Mike Vick. We're going to make a deep playoff run behind him, Chip Kelly's system, see if we can get him to be a more efficient guy, and then we'll find a quarterback at some other juncture. Or it was kind of going to go how this season's been, where you have two middling guys, neither of them are really emerging, and you're going to take a quarterback in the next round. When Chip Kelly made his evaluation early in the season, my take is that he saw neither of these guys were going to be the guy. Every head coach wants their guy. Mike Tomlin, when he came in, that's the rare exception where he takes another guy's guy and makes him his own. That's the rare exception. Jim Harbaugh had Colin Kaepernick. John Harbaugh had Joe Flacco. When guys come in, they want their own guy, and the only reason they don't do that is because they see that the guy's already on the roster. That was Ben Roethlisberger. He was the guy for Mike Tomlin. And so Nick Foles isn't the guy. He isn't even Alex Smith, because Alex Smith was available. 2 second-round picks. A lot of people say the reason they didn't go after Alex Smith was the switching costs. The reason they didn't go after Alex Smith was because the guys that they have on their roster are so far not their guy that they think they're going to be in position to try and find him next year in a loaded, stocked draft class. Listen, can Nick Foles go out, scrape together 250 yards here and there, a couple touchdown passes, maybe not turn the ball over? Maybe. When you look at Nick Foles' play, when you look at him orchestrate an offense, and we'll get into this now. Right now, the reason that Nick Foles is so embraced, not as the guy, but as a possibility of being the guy, it's hot girl hate in reverse. And what I mean by that is, we all remember high school, college, dudes talking at the lunch and dinner table. Man, bro, that girl is bad. She's a smoke show, a 10. That's how she's hyped up to be. And when someone presents that conversation time and time and time over, you hear about this girl and how hot she is, the natural reaction for everybody is to start picking out flaws. I mean, does she really put herself together that well? Is she a 10? I mean, she looks good. She's a sweet girl, nice person. Is she a 10? It's hot girl hate. Whenever you put somebody up on a pedestal, the knee-jerk reaction of everyone around them is to start looking for flaws. Are they really worth a 10? I'll get into that later with Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater's a fine quarterback. He's a fine quarterback. He could be serviceable for a couple of years in this league, especially on a rookie's pay scale. But he's not the guy. Why am I picking out his warts? Because he's projected to be a top pick. It's hot girl hate.
The top pick.
Yeah. The top pick.
The top.
It's hot girl hate. Now, conversely, we have no expectations of Nick Foles. No expectations of Nick Foles. He couldn't even beat out Mike Vick, who to this point hasn't been bad by Mike Vick standards. He hasn't turned the football over. He hasn't been nearly as reckless with the football as he has been in the past. Hasn't cost the Eagles any games to this point in the season. But he's completing 53% of his throws. And everybody wants to bring up the drops. Even if you credited Mike Vick for the 8 drops he's been charged with, still only completing 58% of his passes. That's not good enough to this point. And this was the guy that Nick Foles couldn't even beat in training camp with no pads on. When everybody shines, everybody looks good. Nick Foles, the expectations couldn't have been lower for Nick Foles coming into this season. Couldn't have been lower. What does he do his first time out? 197 yards, 2 touchdowns. He eases into the game in a 2-minute situation with the Giants playing all kinds of off coverage, dink and dunks all the way down the field. Already on the worst pass defense, builds up some confidence. Granted, Nick Foles made some throws. The ball that he threw to Brent Celek was a good ball. Was it a great ball? I don't know, because it was a great catch. But it was a good ball. It wasn't a dangerous throw. Either his guy was going to catch it or nobody caught it. The ball he threw to DeSean Jackson, it was exactly where that ball needed to be. Truth be told, do I know that Foles knew DeSean Jackson was going to do a double move there? Do I know that? Or could that ball that looked like a SportsCenter top 10 play really have kind of just been something that fell into both of their laps? It's not really fair to do that, but if we're talking about a guy as the guy, if we're going to have that conversation, put him in that vein, these are the types of things that you have to, Mike, that you have to hyper-critique. And Nick Foles right now, he couldn't have had any lower expectations coming in. Couldn't have any lower expectations coming in. So the few things that he starts to do right, when he starts to look good, you're kind of sitting there scratching your head going, all right. All right, yeah, no, that was a good throw. That was a good, all right, that was a good ball. That was a decent drive. And you let yourself get excited. It's kind of like scouting high school and college football players, right? So I write for a local newspaper near my hometown. And you go out and you watch a kid play and you're thinking, wow, this kid can sling it. You know, if he just settles down in the pocket, if he doesn't have the happy feet, trusts his offensive line a little more, sits back to live, could be a nice player. This team, it might be a 6, 7, 8, 9 win team. They could win as many as 9 games this season. And then you see a team the next week, and them's as big boys. That's a football team. The difference between typical high school and prep, at least for Central Jersey. South Jersey's a little bit different. But for Central Jersey, it's. In college, you watch a guy, looks like he's balling out on the field. Perfect example, the other night, Teddy Bridgewater, looks like he's balling out on the field against Rutgers. I mean, when you're scouting a guy, when you're sizing up talent, it has to be a relative thing, and you have to be so acclimated to watching other guys perform. And let's face it, we talked about this before the show started, the tail end of Tyler's show. The overwhelming reason why Eagles fans didn't really want to have this game canceled for MRSA, despite the fact if it was their decision, if it was most people's decision, and push came to shove, if it was iffy, if there was any gray area, you're probably canceling that game. MRSA's not something you want to mess with. The reason why nobody wanted to cancel the game is because, by and large, Eagles fans, they don't really want to watch most other games. When the Eagles have a bye week, it's like rain. A gray day, cloudy. It's a bummer. Even on a Monday night game, when the Eagles are playing in prime time, a couple of weeks ago, were you really that juiced up? Were you really that jonesed for the slate of games? No. So you don't have the same frame of reference to compare. And that's not just Eagles fans. That's all Philadelphia fans. It's really all local fans. In any event, the reason why we hype up Nick Foles so much, it's the opposite of hot girl hate. It's hot girl hate in reverse. With the hot girl, the 10, the consensus smoke show? Dudes look for flaws. Same thing with LeBron James. He's not a garbage player. People just say he's the best ever. So we look for his flaws more. More on this and more next. Coming up, the Phillies have made a hire, but have they made the most important one? It's Matt Hamm and Scott, you and you, 97.3 ESPN-FM.